Welcome to day two of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. I'm so glad you've joined me today as we continue this very beginning of our journey through the Word of God. Today we are going to cover Genesis chapters 4 through 7. We will be introduced to the multiplication of human beings on the earth as Adam and Eve have their first two children, which are Cain and Abel. We will also hear about the first murder ever recorded in the Bible with these two men, Cain and Abel, with Cain killing his brother Abel. You'll remember the famous words that come from that incident when God himself asks where his brother is, and Cain replies, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the rhetorical question could be answered, "Yes, indeed, you are your brother's keeper." And that is a calling of God for all of us. But as we progress through these chapters, we will eventually get to the place where the earth is filled with people and there's great wickedness on the earth. And the Lord is so frustrated with the wickedness that has transpired and the violence that has increased that he's ready to just destroy everything on the earth, and he's literally sorry that he had made man on the earth because he was so grieved in his heart. And that brings on the scene the one righteous man that God finds, whose name is Noah. And we will begin to hear his story as we enter into Genesis chapter 7. So beginning today at Genesis 4, we're reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we will begin at Genesis 4, verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." Again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me." So the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one, finding him, would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad And Arad became the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech. And Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice. You wives of Lamech, give heed to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold." Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, "God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him." To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 815 years after he became the father of Kenan, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. Then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. Then Mahalalel lived 830 years after he became the father of Jared, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. Now it came about, when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, "I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living creature that I have made." Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark, so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind, of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the example that we can receive from Noah's life. Noah is an amazing figure in the scriptures, but as old as this story is, it is as relevant for today's generation as it was for Noah's. Think about this. Noah lived in the midst of an exquisitely evil generation, a generation that the scriptures tell us was filled with violence. We know that that could be said easily about our current generation as well. And it was so filled with evil that God said that he was grieved and sorry that he had ever made man upon the earth, because, according to Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then it went on to say in verse 12 that God saw, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And that word corrupted means morally corrupted. It means perverted, according to the original Hebrew. And so we're talking about perversion, moral corruption, decay, and that is what God saw when he looked on the earth. And it grieved him that every imagination of man's thought life and heart was evil in every way. So he was ready to destroy it. Noah lived in a generation that was not that unlike our current day. Moral corruption, perversion, perversity, and incredible violence has risen in our generation to record levels. The amount of pornography being poured out across the media and all types of crimes related to it are just the type of thing that must grieve the heart of God. And so Noah lived in the middle of that, and yet God said about him that he was blameless in his generation. In other words, he wasn't morally corrupt. He was pleasing in God's sight. He was undefiled. He hadn't defiled himself with all the same sinfulness that his generation partook of every day. So you have a man who stood out in his generation. And that's a calling for all of us, to stand out in our generation, to be blameless in the midst of a corrupt and wicked generation that we live in a corrupt society, in a perverted society, to still maintain integrity and holiness before the Lord. So Noah stands out in biblical history as that righteous man, blameless in his generation. And then it says, right after saying he was a righteous man, it says Noah walked with God. So he kept himself in continual fellowship and communion with the Lord. So he stood out as the shining beacon in the middle of darkness in his generation. But then Noah is offered an amazing offer from the Lord. He's told that God intends to destroy the whole earth, but that he's willing to save Noah and his family if he will obey him and build this huge boat, something that had never been seen in the history of man before, to build this vessel and a three-story ark, an ark that had three levels in it, the lower, middle, and upper decks. And not only was he to build this enormous boat on dry land in front of all these people who would no doubt call him crazy and mock him and laugh at him, but he was also to prepare food and provisions, not only for his family to be in that ark for an extended period of time, but to feed animals of every type. Creeping animals, cattle, birds, every type of living creature on the earth, Noah was to prepare provisions for, so that they could all live together in this ark while the earth was destroyed with this flood. So imagine what a crazy sounding idea this was to a man who had never seen a flood, couldn't even imagine in his mind what it would be like for the world to be inundated with that amount of water. And yet we find this man who walks with God fully obedient to the Lord. Noah was being offered by God the opportunity to walk into the center of God's will. And in the center of God's will, you will find divine protection. If you're obedient to the Lord, God tells you, do this, even if it sounds crazy and unreasonable and doesn't make sense to your natural mind. But God is telling you, I want you to do this. And when you're obedient to God, you are in the center of his will, where there is divine protection, where there is divine provision. And that's exactly what God offered to Noah, the opportunity to walk into the center of God's will, a place of divine protection, a place of divine provision, and a place that would take him to his divine destiny if he obeyed him. And we find that Noah was not only blameless in his generation, he was obedient to the Lord as well. And the word tells us Noah did all according to all that God commanded him. So he did. He obeyed God fully according to all that God commanded, not partially, not reluctantly. He obeyed God fully. And because he did this as a direct result of his obedience to the Lord, he was saved from imminent disaster and death. As a result of his obedience, he saw the wonders of God. Can you imagine that you know that you're supposed to somehow gather all the animals that were ever created on the earth into this boat, but how would you even do it? How could you go and find them? How could you get them out of the jungle and the forest and the wilderness, all the places that different types of animals live? You know that it was a sign and a wonder when all of these animals just started showing up at the door of the ark. It had to be supernatural for those animals to come out of hiding in the rocks and in the wilderness and the desert and the high places and the mountains. They all just started appearing because supernaturally, God himself called those animals. Noah made preparation for him that there was no way on earth he could go to the ends of the earth to get every type of animal that God had created. So we know there was a supernatural element that brought these animals in and prevented them from killing one another, because there were predators that were among those animals, and there were the animals that those predators liked to eat for dinner, but they didn't kill one another. Supernaturally, the animals came. They were provided for in that ark by Noah's obedience to get provisions ready for the animals as well as for the family of Noah. And so he saw the wonder of God because of his obedience. Then he saw another wonder, and I always think about this. It says here in Genesis 7, verse 16, that after all the animals by twos went into the ark, that God closed the door of the ark behind him. That's powerful. That's the wonder of God. Because of Noah's obedience, he saw the wonders of God. He saw these animals appear, go into the ark without killing one another. Then he saw God's hand close the door of the ark behind them. That is powerful. Do you want to see the wonders of God in your life? Be obedient to his every single command. Then, the very last point that I want to bring to you today from Noah's life is this. As a result of Noah's obedience to God, he fulfilled his divine destiny. Think about that. The Lord used Noah to replenish the earth. He saved Noah alone with his wife and his sons and sons' wives. He saved that small family, 8 persons, and he used Noah and his obedience to start over on the earth, to start a new generation of people. God multiplied in the earth the people upon the earth through Noah's family. So Noah's obedience resulted in Noah fulfilling his divine destiny as the person that God used to begin afresh, to begin anew, to do a new work in the earth, to start over with the whole race of mankind. That's some serious destiny fulfillment. I have heard many people over the years, oh, I want to know what God's divine destiny is for my life. God wants to show you what his divine destiny for you is, and he has one. He had an intention for you before the foundations of the earth. But I tell you, he reveals divine destiny to those who obey him. Because why would God bother to to give revelation about divine destiny to a person who doesn't obey God. They can never fulfill it if they are not obedient to the Lord, and He won't even reveal it if you are not a person who walks in fellowship with God and obeys His voice. And that's what we can gather so powerfully from the life of Noah. His obedience brought him into the perfect center of God's will, where there's divine protection and divine provision. His obedience resulted in Noah seeing the wonders of God. Noah's obedience brought him to a place where he experienced his divine destiny being fulfilled. That's what God wants for you as well. He wants you to receive His provision and protection. He wants you to see His wonders. He wants you to experience the divine destiny He intended for your life, and that you can live your life having that divine destiny fulfilled and end your life satisfied, having fulfilled God's divine purpose for your life. That's the invitation that we have as people who walk with God and who commune with God and who fellowship with God. That's the calling that we have from the Lord. So I want to encourage you today to be obedient to the Lord as Noah was, and you too can stand out as a shining light in the midst of a dark generation. God bless you and give you a victorious week.